everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the 23rd of July, 2012. Hope you had a great weekend, another wet weekend in Tucson, but who is complaining? Certainly not me. We need that rain. After all, we are in year 15 of a prolonged drought that really is parching now just about most of the United States. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program every afternoon to three websites: my website, buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com all have our program. Mondays, we get things going with the political face-off. Today, it will be commentators John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, an update on the Community Food Bank's One Can a Week program. It's a terrific program that continues to expand around the city. And then we'll close out the show with longtime Tucson housing analyst John Strobeck, who will have a major announcement about his future. We'll encourage you to call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040, or you can submit questions using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday, we do kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off. With me today in studio, Attorney John Munger. Mr. Munger, former governor gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side in 2010. John is also former GOP state and Pima County party chair. Paul Eckerstrom is the current vice chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. And the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. I was over speaking with Moe, had some framing needs for him to take care of on Saturday. They do a great job there, Moe and his family. They've been running this family business since 1985. They'll take care of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. John, how are you today? And Paul, how
good.
You doing?
Good. How are you, Bill? Good to see you, Paul.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, you're mixing the A team
I am.
And the B
I'm kind
team.
Of mixing the team.
Bringing the B team, the minor leaguers up this week.
Yeah,
we are
shaking things up a little bit here on the Monday political face-off. Let's begin, gentlemen, with Rio Nuevo. There's never a shortage of, it seems like, controversy when it comes to this ongoing project, the latest controversy. The Rio Nuevo board, John Munger, is looking at helping keep the Manning House in downtown a historic building from foreclosure. Councilman Steve K. Kasachek says this smells of a backroom deal, and if it is, he says it's time to pull the plug right now on Rio Nuevo.
Well, I disagree with that. I join a lot of people that I'm not personally certain what's happening with regard to the Manning House and why Rio Nuevo is involved with that. I do have a lot of confidence in Fletcher McCusker and Alberto Moore and Chris Schieff and some of the members of Rio Nuevo. I think we need to watch and see what's happens with regard to that particular project. But I know they have a lot more going on than just the Manning House. So my view is we finally have Rio Nuevo, I think, in a position where it can move forward and do some things. We're not going to agree with everything it does. I'm not, frankly, certain whether it should come in and buy out or redeem the mortgage on the Manning House, or whether they even plan to do that. But I'm certainly have enough confidence in those people to believe that they have the best interests of downtown Tucson at heart, and that they're going to look at all of these issues. I don't want any insider deals either. I have not been impressed with the Manning House ever. It's never done very well in the private sector.
It really has struggled, John.
But I do have a lot of confidence in these people, and I think we ought to give them a chance.
Shall we give them a chance at least at the end of the year?
Yeah, I would think so. I think Steve Kasachik's maybe jumping the gun here a little bit. And I'm not sure that the project of buying up the Manning House wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing if they use it for something like museums or things
right.
that we voted for originally. Because it's a beautiful venue for some sort of museum, I would think. But I don't know what their plans are for it. I think we should hear them out and see where this goes, because I agree with John. I think the board now is set up to actually move forward. And I think they're going to do good things for the downtown in the future. And we need that Rio Nuevo money to really help upgrade downtown. And if they're able to do it, all power to them, even though all the problems in the past with Rio Nuevo, it's time to kind of put that in the past and move forward. And I don't think preserving a beautiful building like the Manning House is necessarily a bad thing if you can put it to good use.
I agree with that. I think that people ought not to look at the past with Rio Nuevo and the old boards and whatever happened there and just presume everything is going to be bad. I think we need to give these people a shot. I know that they're in good they're trying to do their best, and they really want to make this Rio Nuevo project thrive. So let's bear with them. See what happens. None of us want any inside deals. I just can't see that particular group of people pulling off some shady inside deal. It's just not their style.
Yeah.
Let's move on now. Jeff Flake, candidate for U.S. Senate, got an endorsement today. Paul Eckerstrom from Governor Sarah Palin. Do endorsements, Paul, mean much to you?
Not really, although this endorsement might hurt Jeff Flake. I maybe not in the primary, but certainly if he makes it through the primary in the general election. But endorsements don't usually mean that much unless it's a very polarizing figure like a Sarah Palin that could actually cut against you. And I think that might hurt him in the general election. Probably not in the primary, but in the general election it could hurt him.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think that, number one, I want to make it clear that I have been supporting Will Cardin, who's a business person from Mesa, against Jeff Flake. I like both, but I really would like to see a business person running for that office and in that office. I happen to like Will Cardin's philosophy. I like the fact that he's created hundreds of jobs. He knows what it's like to invest money, to have to deal with the regulations out there. And so I have been supporting Will. Will has done a very good job. He's brought this campaign. He started out 50 points behind in the polls.
That man.
He's now within the margin of error.
And he spent a lot of his own money, $6 or $7 million?
Well, I don't know that much, but he spent a lot of money, and he is now within the margin of error. And Will Cardin is a very, very strong candidate. I happen to agree with Paul. I'm not very impressed with endorsements. I don't frankly care who John McCain supports or, frankly, Sarah Palin. I'm more impressed with John Kyle because I really like John Kyle. So having John McCain's endorsement, I'm not sure means a whole lot in a Republican primary. He's not a particularly popular person within the Republican ranks. So I think you're going to see Jeff Flake and Will Cardin really having it out. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Will Cardin win this thing.
Somebody's going to be really bloodied from this primary, and they'll emerge against Richard Carmona.
Yeah, and Dr. Carmona is a significantly strong candidate from Tucson and the former Surgeon General for George W. Bush. And frankly, Richard Carmona is very moderate in his politics. He really was an independent before he decided to run for the Senate. And I think he's got a great chance in the general election. This kind of reminds me, and I was just in high school back when this happened, but I remember it when Sam Steiger and John Conlon had a very vicious primary where they were really attacking each other. And Dennis DeConcini, another Tucsonan who was county attorney here, came in and was able to win in the general election because of that. And this may be setting up similarly. I don't know if it'll happen that way, but I think you're right. I think whoever comes out of this is going to be bloody, because this has been a very almost a personal campaign against each other in some ways. And I've been surprised by how negative it's been in a primary, because usually that can backfire sometimes in a primary. But both sides seem to be getting real negative, and that could help Carmona in the general election.
Yeah, I think it could. I think Carmona's got his own problems in the general election. I mean, the first question anybody's going to ask Carmona is, are you going to vote for or against Obamacare? And, of course, he's going to vote for it. And he's going to vote with the Democratic caucus and Harry Reid in the U.S. Senate virtually every time, because otherwise he's going to be rendered neutered.
And because of his background as U.S. Surgeon General, health care will be the paramount issue.
Oh, yes. And he's going to vote for Obamacare. Right. So he's got a major problem this time. I think the interesting thing, and I'm just back from vacation, so I'm just catching up on this, but I will tell you, having just heard that McCain last week while I was gone endorsed
McCain and Kyle.
Well, that McCain endorsement could really backfire against Jeff Flake in this campaign. There are a lot of Republicans that really are not happy with John McCain.
And that's, like I said, you know, endorsements can hurt you. Not necessarily help you much, but they can hurt you.
Yeah.
And that may be one of those situations. I would say that in terms of Dr. Carmona and the healthcare issue specifically, mm-hmm. I've heard him talk about it. He is supportive of the healthcare program that was passed. But he says it's really a starting point. It needs to be worked on and perfected. There's certainly flaws in it that he feels can be made better. And specifically is bringing down the actual cost of providers and making that much more efficient. So there's a lot of things that I think he would work on as an expert in that field to make that healthcare legislation better and to work more efficiently.
Why don't we take the break right here? Seems like a natural point in between topics. We will continue with the Monday political face-off. Paul Eckerstrom is seated to the left of me in studio, and John Munger is to the right of me on the political face-off. We will be back on this Monday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Well, 21 now on the Buckmaster Show, the political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. They've got it all for you. Great framing over there at Moe's. Great art, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. John Munger is with me, and Paul Eckerstrom. John, has Ken Bennett, Arizona Secretary of State, hurt himself with challenging the permanent one-cent sales tax petitions, and prior to that, the whole thing?
I don't really think so. I think that he, given the fact that there were investigative authorities who were raising at the time various very serious investigative questions about the birth issues, I think he was legally required to say, okay, let's just look and see what the evidence is. He requested that evidence from the state of Hawaii. All he asked the state of Hawaii to do is give me some evidence. And what caused the problem is the state of Hawaii would not give him any evidence. They would not even respond to him for 2 weeks. And so when they finally did respond, he said, okay, that's all I need. But I think he had a duty to follow up and at least request the information. And if he hadn't requested the information, that would not have been acceptable. Having gotten information from the state of Hawaii, that's fine. Then he left it on the ballot. I see no problem with that. He did, I think, a responsible thing. He asked the questions. When he got an answer, he put Mr. Obama on the ballot.
What do you think, Paul Eckerstrom?
I think he's hurt himself badly with the general election public.
On several counts.
First, he didn't have to do any of these things, and he could have. I will say, first, this is the problem the Republicans are facing these days, because some of their electorate in the primary have moved so far to the right that they have to kowtow to them, and then when they run in the general, they're hurt with the general election public. In these two issues, first, he just made a whole bunch of parents and a whole bunch of grandparents, a whole bunch of people assigned those petitions on the initiative, very, very angry.
You're talking on the education.
The education.
The one-cent sales tax.
Extending the one-cent sales tax for education.
By making that group have to file a lawsuit against them, where the judge came in and basically
said, why are we here?
Yeah, why are we here, to the attorneys for the attorney general who was representing Ken Bennett. And Ken Bennett was ordered to be there by the judge. He didn't show up. I find it kind of weird, because the reason he did this was the anti-tax group, ATRA, was the one that asked him to throw it off the ballot. And when he had gone on John C. Scott just before that and said he wasn't going to do it and he would let whoever wanted to file a lawsuit, instead he made the initiative backers file the lawsuit to get back on the ballot rather than making ATRA, who was the ones that had the complaint, file the lawsuit and pay for it and all of that. I just think he just made a huge political mistake. He might have been kowtowing to folks that are going to help him in the primary in the governor's race, but he's going to get hurt badly in the general election.
Yeah, I don't see it as that big of an issue. I think that by the time we get down to the gubernatorial race in another 2 years, it's just not going to be on anybody's radar screen.
Are you for this 1 cent sales tax, John Mott?
No, I'm against it. You know, we adopted the 1 cent sales tax in the last back in 2010 and 11 on the basis it would be a 3-year deal, and everybody promised it would
and
be
it
a
3-year
deal, and it would sunset. Now here they come back trying to figure out how to raise taxes again. It's the same old liberal deal. It's like they're doing in California. They're going bankrupt and they're trying to raise taxes.
Well, wait a minute. If I remember right, the original 1 cent sales tax was pushed by Governor Brewer. And by the way—
Which I opposed, incidentally.
Yeah, okay. That's fine, John. I love your candor on that. But the plain fact of the matter is we were promised it would go to education and public safety. A lot of it was diverted to other things to balance the budget. And frankly, education is in a dire straits in this state. It's— You know,
no,
dead
is.
Last in funding of it, and around the country, our universities that have gone up 10 times the amount that it was back in the mid 80s to go to school at the University of Arizona. So this sales tax actually makes sure, with the language and the legal stuff in the language, it has to go to education. It has to go for the things it's supposed to go for, and it can't be diverted by the legislature. And I think that's necessary. It shouldn't be necessary. The legislature should have the common sense to fund education correctly. But I think it's necessary with this legislature to do that.
We have way too much law being passed allocating state monies and taxes on a perpetual basis that the legislature can never touch. We are digging ourselves with these types of initiatives into a financial hole where we are spending money on projects. We're taxing and spending on projects that will go on literally forever. And that is not Republican form of government. I mean that with a small r. You know, our form of government is supposed to be that the purse strings are controlled by the legislature. Now, if you don't like the way the legislature allocates money, then put in a different legislature. But passing all of these, which we've been doing, passing all of these new tax laws over the past 20 years, and then under Proposition 105, making it impossible for the legislature to ever modify those, is going to bankrupt this state, and I'm against that as a matter of principle.
Well, in a general sense, I agree with you, John, but in the specific case of schools funding, it is necessary.
I disagree with you, Paul. I think when people start seeing their money being spent in the right way for better teachers, when the teachers' unions are no longer running the school systems, then I think people will be ready to say, okay, we now understand that you're willing to be responsible in how you spend your money. But until you spend the money properly, don't ask us for more.
Let's go to Charles now on the Buckmaster Show live line. He has a question for both John Munger and for Paul Eckerstrom. Quickly, Charles, go ahead.
Very quickly. I think we spend way too much money on education, and we waste most of it. I wish the Republicans could grow a set and admit that. I wish the Democrats could let go of their hold on the money. And I'd like to know, what would you think of the idea, maybe by a state initiative, by a voter initiative, where we devolve much of the public institutions, the universities and the community colleges, let those campuses, much of them, except for the laboratories and the necessary parts where people have to be there, let them go to online learning and then put them to useful purposes, like, for instance, having companies that'll partner with a university and manufacture something useful instead of producing idiots?
Well, here's part of my problem, and I'm a former regent. I've dealt with this subject. Online universities have very limited value as far as I'm concerned. I agree with you that we are spending plenty of money on schooling, on education. We are misspending huge amounts, and until we get that waste fixed, We shouldn't be spending any more. We have plenty of money in the educational system. But the problem with online universities, one of the great values of education is the socialization that goes on in the campuses, the dialogue that goes on between students and professors on an everyday basis, and you can't repeat that online. You can't replicate it.
I absolutely agree with John on that point. The Greeks created the whole university system to bring people together to socialize and share ideas. I don't think we want to go that
I far. Learned far more at my university from other students than I did from the other from the professors, frankly.
That's true.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Family run and owned since 1985. Drop by and say hello to Moe. They'll take care of all of your framing and hanging services and needs for you. Coming up now on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A pregnant woman who escaped the Colorado theater attack uninjured is delivering her baby as her wounded husband lies in a hospital in critical condition. That's according to David Sanchez. He's the father of 21-year-old Katie Medley. The family of Hall of Fame football coach Joe Paterno says the NCAA sanctions defame his legacy and are a panicked response to the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State. The family also says that punishing past, present, and future students because of Sandusky's crimes does not serve justice. Pakistani intelligence officials say U.S. drones have fired 8 missiles at a compound in the country's northwest, killing 9 suspected terrorists. The Dow down 78 points. This is SRN News.
Remember when you used to make mud pies when you were a kid? Here's your opportunity to get down to earth again and have some fun. Come join us for the Silver City Clay Festival, August 3rd through 5th, in unique, beautiful, historic Silver City, New Mexico. This 3-day celebration offers exhibits, 14 fabulous workshops, youth activities, films, and all sorts of mud fun. Everyone is getting in on the clay action. Downtown restaurants, bars, musicians, and more. Also available are free lectures, tours, and clay demonstrations. 2 juried events are taking place, an art tile show and a neo-membreño competition. Don't miss the gala opening event at WNMU. For more information or to sign up for workshops, go to clayfestival.com or email info@clayfestival.com or call 575-538-5560. Come have fun and play in the mud with us. See you there.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My Foot Doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35, and this portion of our program is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. If you could donate one can a week of food to the community food bank, would you do it? Well, residents of Central Tucson's Miles neighborhood are in a donation mood these past few days and actually weeks. They have made it very easy thanks to neighborhood resident Peter Norbeck, who joins me in studio on the Buckmaster Show along with Jack Paris. Jack is Community Relations Director for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Jack and Peter, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Peter, how did Jack, actually, let's begin with you. How did this whole program about one can a week begin?
Bill, you know, there are a lot of people come to us with ideas about raising food and money and everything for the food bank. And through a good friend of ours, Mike Bolchok, he sent us Peter. And we listened to Peter and we thought, gee, that's really a good idea. It's so simple. And Peter is so enthusiastic about it that he started One Can a Week. And let me let him tell you about how his idea came up.
And where did this, how did this idea germinate, Peter?
I was watching the news broadcast, and the Community Food Bank was having a lot of trouble in 2008, and it was on the news all the time. And I was just thinking that, you know, if all the citizens got involved in helping the Community Food Bank, that would be the answer. And then suddenly I came up with everyone giving one can a week. That would kind of solve it if everyone did it consistently.
And so folks leave one can outside? How does it work?
Yes. I initially talk to them, and they can leave it outside the next week. And or I knock on the door if it's not there, because a lot of times they forget. And they're always happy for the reminder. And I just pick it up, and it's between 11:30 and 2:30. It doesn't take much time. I do over 100 homes. 11:30 to 2:30, and I take about a 45-minute lunch, especially during football.
And this is spreading, this idea, Jack Paris?
Well, it is, and Peter can tell you about that. But let me tell you, Peter has collected how many tons of food now?
It is over 20 tons.
20 tons of
food.
Wow,
and you've been
and
doing...
And over $9,000 in cash, too. So,
wow.
And Peter's never missed a Sunday in how many weeks?
185 weeks.
So... That's been very beneficial to us because, as we've talked before, Bill, you know, our donations go down during the summer. So one can a week is a big help for us.
Do folks put more than one can
out,
or they're welcome to do that?
Yeah. Yes, they do. And if they miss, I have this little card that I leave there. It said, sorry, I missed you. And I call it my guilty card because when I come back the next Sunday, it's lots of food.
Yeah. And the response in the neighborhood, how many folks are what percentage of your neighbors are taking part now?
two things. One is that it's 50%, and a West Virginia college proved that because they quickly initiated, it was a political science class, they quickly initiated that one can a week, and it turns out that you see all the neighbors, then 50% participate and continue to participate, and then they turn their program over to the Lions Club. That was in West Virginia. So there are places around the United States that are doing it. Go ahead.
You mentioned about, is it spreading? I'll let Peter tell you about the mayor.
Oh, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. I presented this program, One Can a Week, to the mayor, and he said, how can I help? And I said, well, if you put a box in your office and then kind of put on your email that you just are in this program and call it One Can a Meeting, the big guys that come to see him just bring one can. The whole city will be constantly thinking about hunger besides their lunchtime and their dinner time. And he just started that, and five participants he has already doing it. And it's a growth thing where it creates a team where even the people in the low end of the firm can go to the executive suite and every week and say hi and drop off their can.
But as far as other neighborhoods, Jack Paris, are others getting involved?
Catalina Vista.
Yep.
Okay.
We have Catalina Vista doing it. There's a teenager there. She's in high school doing it every week. We had Ironwood was doing it for a while, I think. And it's the consistency to try to build this. There is a guy named Jack Flash who is in the old Fort Lowell area, is doing it with this. He has neighborhood associations, which are a difficult nut to crack because they have this no solicitation thing.
And you have some businesses helping you, too. Oh
yeah. Rincon Market is one of the biggest ones, proving that it's a capitalist idea. They donate money. I take the money and every week go buy food in his food a supermarket. So I'm the first charity that's ever really paid for my spot. And it's helped him through the recession, and he's also helped his consumers by buying product that lowered the prices. He got better product. He put Goya in there, which is a very good brand, but he's selling a lot more of that than he had some really high-end stuff. And he says, well, I'm going to drop down, and now the university students are doing it. So it's really kind of a slow-build blend of business solving the problem and the citizen solving the problem.
And Jack Paris, there is such a need, as you were mentioning this summer. How did your fiscal year come out here?
Well, Bill, we came out about 9% down on our donated food. And what that translates into is about 2.5 million pounds of food less than we had last year for our food boxes. And so it was a rough year. And thank goodness we have a great community that we live in that has come forward to help us. Over the rough spots, what we've had to do for a while, we had to take some items out of our food boxes until we get back on our feet again. But it's been a difficult year, and we're not anticipating any great improvement in the next year either. We're going to be ready for all kinds of contingencies.
Peter Norbeck, do you come from a background where you sort of a philanthropy kind of background, or is this something new to you?
It's this grand scale is something new to me. I help people. I'm a business consultant and an author and that type of thing. And so I used to help people one at a time. If I see a situation, I just jump in and do it. I've never done a mass thing like this. And speaking to Jack's problem, if everyone just replicated what we do in the Miles neighborhood, which is working class neighborhood, we'd get 17 million tons of food. Yeah, 17 million tons of food and about $4 million if we just implemented it here. Just what one can a week does, 3 hours a week.
And you pick it up in your own car, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like a mail route. You know, you park your mail truck, as it were, and then you go six or seven houses and you move down the road a bit. It's very easy, as I said.
But it does take time and certainly dedication on Peter's part. Jack.
Absolutely, Bill. I was thinking about that. A lot of people start these things, but they don't have the dedication Peter has, and he sticks with it. And it's simple, and I think that's everybody recognizes that, and that's why it's successful.
Well, I've been an author. I've done 22 books, and I've always kind of been looking for success. And this is the most successful thing I've ever done, meaning that my behavior gets success all the time. I repeat my good behavior, and I get the success built. So that's the motivation of why you do it all the time, is if people think they're looking for success, this will work, because if you just pick up the food, it's always there.
Peter Norback is with us. He's been really started this one can, neighborhood one can a week program, and Jack Paris from the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. And Jack has pointed out to us that donations certainly down for the fiscal year. What kind of food are you looking for? What kind of items are you looking for right now, Jack Paris?
Bill, we can always use the items that go into our food boxes, which are cereal, canned meat, canned vegetables, canned fruit, pasta, rice, beans, and we always put a jar of peanut butter in there. And we just went through a big peanut butter drive because we were way behind. And what happened was the price of peanut butter went through the roof. We used to buy a truckload for $40,000, and now we're paying $70,000 for a truckload. So any of those, all of those items that go into the food boxes are very, very important.
What's the best way if someone wants to join in this program? Peter or Jack, you want
all
to
they
in?
Have to do is go to the internet and Google one can a week. And it shows up there. They can go to the website, and it explains how to do it if they want to start their own. They can always call me or email me, and I'll help them get it going. Like Jack Flash from the old Fort Lowell contacted me. I showed him quickly how to do it. And but the people own this. This isn't – they're not joining an organization. It's their project in their neighborhood, and everybody gets out of the way. And if somebody likes to be an entrepreneur, this is perfect for them.
And for more on the Community Food Bank, Jack Paris?
Website, communityfoodbank.org, main phone number, 622-0525.
Well, congratulations, Peter and Jack. I think it's a great program, and I hope it catches on, and it is catching on quite slowly around the city, but these things do take time, right, Jack?
That's exactly right, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 1250. And this portion of our program is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Get down to earth at Silver City's first celebration for the love of clay. August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's going to be a big weekend in historic Silver City. Check it out. And it's a beautiful time of year. The rains have come over there to southwest New Mexico. Warm days, occasional thunderstorms, cool evenings. Hike and enjoy the spectacular wilderness of the Gila National Forest. Plenty of great accommodations, including Pinos Altos Cabins. For more information, check out southwestnewmexico.org. Longtime Tucson real estate analyst John Strobeck is officially retiring at the end of the week. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Mr. Strobeck, who has been the owner for the past 18 years of Bright Futures Business Consultants, which publishes the Orange Reports, offering the most accurate, updated, and reliable information on the Tucson housing market. John, good to see you.
Well, good to be with you again, Bill.
And congratulations on your retirement, but you're really turning your business over to one of your longtime employees, but you're still going to be around, right?
I'll still be around, and I'll probably be doing a lot of maybe even talking on the radio occasionally with a guy named Bill Buckmaster, you know?
I hope so.
Who knows? I'm going to try to keep my finger still in the pie, but the business is going to belong to Ginger Canoip, who has been just a wonderful employee for the last 12 years, and she's going to handle all the data and all the publishing and all of those things. And John's going to be kind of be a figurehead, if nothing else. But, you know, I'm getting old, Bill.
No, 70 years old, but you still have the very successful DJ John business that you have developed. You got quite a following there. Jack Paris was telling me you've got a big following, actually.
Well,
classic car shows in Arizona, New Mexico, and you play first-generation rock and roll from the 50s and early 60s.
That's right. That's what I do. I love that. I grew up in that, and my parents didn't believe in having a television, so I became a radio guy, listening to the radio, and loved the rock and roll at the time, and just constantly tried to find out everything that I could about it, and even followed the groups even now.
And it's a lot of work, though, these DJ John gigs. I mean, you're busy pretty much every weekend, aren't you?
Yes, we do a lot of them. We've done the Little Anthony's shows, which are twice a month on Saturday nights for the last, the 14th year of that, believe it or not. And other weekends, we're almost always busy somewhere else.
Talk a little bit about the housing market. We're at the mid-year point here, John, a little bit beyond now the mid-year point. Bright light is starting to show through that tunnel.
Well, Bill, notice I said that I would not wear black when we started the to see its turnaround. So I have gray and tan on
there
today.
You go.
So You know, that's a positive
moving
sign
beyond
there.
The blackness, right?
Right?
How is it looking?
Well, actually, we are on an upswing, particularly in new construction and also in pricing. We're seeing the prices start to increase a little bit. Now, I know that's not good for the buyer, but the buyer has had a wonderful run over the last 6 years that they could buy a house. And by the way, you can buy a house now, and it's 3.5% interest, and just an amazing set of circumstances. And we're going to see that go away because prices are starting to rise, and we're seeing some demand on new construction homes. And one of the more interesting things, Bill, is that this downturn in the housing market has gone so long that we actually have people coming into sites and asking about buying houses that don't even know about the housing downturn because they were 18 and 19 and going to college, and now they're 23, 24, newly married, and wanting a house. And this downturn has been so long, they don't even really know about it.
The turnaround is really happening. Are we cleaning up some of the foreclosures?
Yes, we are cleaning up the foreclosures. They are being purchased almost exclusively by people that are buying multiple homes, refurbing them, and renting them out. We haven't seen a lot of them just go on sale because it's not a good time to sell. But we could see that happen later on. And I hope we'll not have the traditional housing bubble, which is when investors go out and they buy a home at a low price and then the prices go up and they dump onto the market. Well, that could be a disaster. But hopefully these people that are out there doing this will put them on the market objectively and with a little bit of control.
For those who have been on the sidelines waiting to sell their property, they're starting now to say, well, maybe the bottom has come and gone, and so maybe now is the time to put up the home.
Well, I don't think it's quite the time. I would I'd still wait probably another year before we see the housing prices rise, because the pent-up demand out there for people to sell homes is in the tens of thousands. I mean, really, it's amazing, because we have just seen the houses drop. I estimate that close to, in some neighborhoods, 80% of the home sales right now are distressed sales.
Wow.
80%. So, you know, that doesn't leave much. The others are transfers and a few that are putting their houses up
folks
for sale because they need to.
Yeah, they have to sell and they have to move on. But if you don't really have to, you're saying perhaps maybe a year or a year and a half before.
Yes.
And as far as the price level, and it has been going up.
Yes. We did new construction homes. Median price surpassed $200,000 last month, and I kind of give that as a reference. When that goes above $200,000, that's kind of a good sign. In the distress sale homes, the foreclosures, they were down in the 90,000s. They were at about $106,000 last month, and the regular resale, or the resale that's out there other than foreclosure home sales, was at about 160. So it's been a little better market.
When you launched Bright Futures in 1994, you had a 30-year career with IBM in management, and you really got into the housing market at the right time, didn't you?
I sure did, and it was a very fortunate thing to meet with R.L. Brown, and he had some customers down here, and through a strange set of circumstances, we got together, and he said, John, I'd like you to just take over what we have down there and run with it, and I was very fortunate to be able to do that, and it was right at the time when things were going along very well, and then it got real well, so it was a good run.
You certainly saw the housing peak, didn't you?
I did. I sure did.
And you saw the housing
I saw the housing valley as well.
Well, you're a busy guy. You've got the DJ John events with the classic car shows. You will continue doing your preaching at Mission Valley Church of Christ. So do you come to car shows to try to preach every Sunday?
Yes, I do. I late Saturday night, get in, get up early Sunday morning, go teach the Sunday school class, go preach, and I like to stay busy, Bill.
Yeah, you're going to be busy and still working, doing some of the PR work, certainly, for Bright Futures and coming on the Buckmaster Show and telling us what's going on with the housing market.
I'll be glad to be doing that.
Give me a couple of your favorite 50s and early 60s groups. Little Anthony and the Imperials, I always liked that.
I like them. The Platters is probably my favorite of a group. If I were to say a group, my actual favorite single artist was a man named Jackie Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
And
he just
did some great stuff. The guy could sing anything from rock and roll to opera.
Car shows, it's huge, isn't it?
It is. You know, we have here in Tucson, almost every weekend, there's a car show somewhere. And October, November are the biggest months, and we'll have some huge car shows. You had Jack Paris on earlier, and Jack and I, he does a lot of the announcing and things at the Tucson Classics Car Show, where I also DJ, and that'll be coming up, sponsored by the Rotary Club, the big Cops and Rodders show, the Project Extreme show out in for the graduation out in the Northwest, and just all sorts of big shows coming up.
And to think, at one time I had a brand new 1965 Mustang convertible. Oh, I wish I still had that car.
You still do, don't you? You didn't let that go, did you?
Oh, I did, unfortunately. John, great to see you, and congratulations with the next phase of your life. Thanks, right. And we'll look forward to talking to you.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be with you.
Want to tell you that Culligan Water supplies the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, and we are glad they do, because what is it about Culligan? Well, folks, it simply tastes better. Culligan Water, the official water of the Buckmaster Show, and that will do it. On a busy Monday here, and we will do it all over again tomorrow at 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.